We got a great service plan today, and I want to kick things off with an update from our friends in Peru. We have a couple of missionaries that we've sent down there last week. A couple more will be joining them tomorrow, and so we've got a special update for you that we want to show from them right now.
Hola, Good News Church. It's your 19th anniversary today, and we are here live in Trujillo, Peru. So excited to be celebrating with you guys. And this actually isn't live. We filmed this last night. And today, me and Parker are speaking at Mas Vida. I'm sure the message is going great. But we've been here for a week now. We've been having an incredible time. God's been working through us. And our whole mission and purpose being here is equipping believers and empowering and encouraging people. So why don't you give them a rundown?
So far we landed here Tuesday morning, you know, safely, because we're standing here. Tuesday night we got to speak with a lot of young people, got to teach them about identity, and it was awesome. I mean, really good. The next morning we got to meet with some youth leaders. Mm-hmm. They came for breakfast. We answered some questions. I mean, God's working. He's working good through people, and the family here is awesome. They're taking amazing care of us.
Making us eat
a lot. We're eating a lot. So Wednesday night, we went to the mall, and we ended up getting to minister with a few young ladies. They got saved, which is awesome. The next day, Thursday, we got to go to the hospital and pray with some kids and some young people and, you know, everybody that was sick.
And minister to the kids' families and led some people to the Lord in the hospital.
Yeah.
And then I posted on Facebook on our way out, the security guard stopped us, and they had been giving us trouble on the way in. And we got to minister to them on the way out, and some of them got saved.
Yeah. So, you know, that was an awesome time. That night we got to speak with another group, and we taught them about love and, you know, God's love for us and what we do with that love. And the next day, is that today?
No. That was
the days are really running together. The days are
yesterday,
really running
together. While Parker was napping, I was here with some kids speaking, and we talked about healing, and I told some miracle stories, and then we did some demonstrations and different stuff, so a great time there. And then today, we went to the beach, and we had no fun at the beach. It was strictly ministry. I'm just kidding. But we were having fun, and then we saw some young guys, and we took our translators, and we went over and ministered to them, and they both got saved, praise God, and invited them to church. And so this week has really been about us modeling this whole thing. It hasn't been super intense yet, but I feel like it's about to be. I was talking to Caleb about schedules and stuff. But I just ask that you guys pray with us and believe with us, and that this city will be changed, and this family and this church, that life will be given to them so that they can give more life, and that iron sharpens iron, will be sharpened, and they'll be sharpened. We pray that you guys have a good service today, and that the chili is good, so you guys enjoy chunch, and stand with us as we're here in Trujillo, Peru. Goodbye.
Thank you, guys. Ciao.
I think it's adios. Wrong continent there. Praise God. Well, at this time, Tony, there you are. Tony Tan. I asked Tony to come up. Come on. Tony. Yeah, let's clap for Tony. Yeah. You okay? Yeah, okay. Yeah, Tony's going to share a little bit about what, I don't really know what Tony's going to share. I know what I asked him to share, but we don't know what he's going to share. So, just here. Okay.
All right. She asked me to share a little something. This time last year, I was pretty lost. You know, my wife and I came to this church when our two oldest kids were very little, up to almost 10 years, and from personal reasons, I left the church almost 9 years ago, and just came back, or eight years ago, actually. Just came back this past January. But this time last year, actually next week, will be my one-year anniversary of where I had gotten into some trouble and got locked up and was put in jail for about about 3 days, and while in jail, I was looking for ways to hang myself, because I thought life was, as I knew it, was over. I thought my family was going to leave me. I didn't think I would ever see my beautiful little grandbaby born. And then Terry, my sister-in-law, I know I say it all the time, she opened up to me to bring me to, my legs are shaking, so y'all got to forgive me. But anyway, she invited me to hear a service that Pastor Nate was preaching on putting on a new man. And I vowed to God, on November the 23rd of last year, that if he was true, that I would vow to change. And he showed himself to be true to me, because I didn't call any of my family members to come get me out of jail. They hunted me down and they found me. And so God showed me that he still loved me and that he was still there. And because of that, I've told him that I would never look back. And I started coming to this church, started tithing, and he's just been pouring blessings onto me for the past 12 months that, it blows my mind. And I mean, God's freaking awesome, Pastor Matt.
Whew. Yeah, thank you, Tony. That was tough to hear. God is good, isn't he? Yeah. That was just a short, toned-down version. We've also asked Vince Martin if he'd come and just share for a moment. Today, we're just wanting to give you a little, as we celebrate 19 years, just a little clip of what God's been doing in our church in recent years. You know, we could talk about what happened 19 years ago when we started, but it's not about that. I mean, thank God for that, but that was the start. Come on up here. And it's what God's doing now that we want to hear about. So we asked Vince if he'd come and just share what the church has meant in his life.
Good morning, you guys. It's tough because a lot of things, you know, you go through things and you come in church and you put on a mask and you don't want people to know, you know, what you've been through. And I've done that most of my life. I came here and I feel like I was able, about a year ago, November, around the putting on the new man time, but I was able to come here and share who I was with people. And I felt like I was going to be rejected because I wasn't good enough, you know. I always felt condemned everywhere else I've ever been. We came to church at a time when me and my wife were, she might be embarrassed to hear me say this, but I don't know if we were going to make it. January probably was going to have us, I don't know. We might not have been together. We came here, we met the people, we got encouraged, and something settled inside of us. And we haven't looked back, you know. No situations are perfect, but I was able to get peace. And I remember you saying having peace in a situation when you're not supposed to have peace. You're supposed to be hollering, going crazy. But regardless of what's went on since I've been here, I've had a certain level of peace. And I feel like God truly loves me. Up until this very morning, there was a part of me that was starting to feel a little disconnected. And then the phone rang and this sweet voice said, "Vince, you coming to church this morning?" And I knew God was not only watching what we do, but he was in tune with our thoughts. He knew that. So I praise God. I'm so happy to be standing here in front of y'all today. I have a son that's leading people to church and leading people to God in school. I have a daughter that whenever you get hurt, she lays her hands on you. In Jesus' name, she's doing that. I couldn't have done that on my own. I couldn't have. God is so real. So be encouraged, because even while I'm standing here, I feel, when you were talking, that was my story. I feel like I didn't have to say nothing. I could have just waved and stayed in my seat. So I thank God for this moment, just be standing next to you. I appreciate what you guys do. Y'all are real people. And you don't run into that everywhere. But inside the church and outside the church, these are genuine people. And I feel blessed to be connected to them. I truly do.
Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Well, we have a couple of other testimonies. One we're going to have by video here, so just go ahead with that, guys.
It has impacted my life a lot. especially when I was going through a hardship, taking care of my father and everything. They just jumped right in, and they was very supportive, and I could never give them enough thank yous or blessings for being so supportive. I was like going into depression, like with my father and all the things of that nature, but you know, once I started coming back to church and believing and hearing and listening to everything that they say, I knew that it was true. And it just kind of changed me a little bit. It stopped me from being so depressed. And my spirit, you know, is like more free. I really believe and I seek Him. And I found myself being more peaceful, at peace with myself, satisfied with the things that I was doing. I felt that my days were easier, you know. And I just really felt at peace with myself. I had like a lot of anger and stuff built up inside of me, and I just felt this peace that just came over me and kind of calmed me down, you know, to let me look at things and look in a different way and let me know that God, you know, is always right beside me. He'll never leave me and He'll never forsake me. One service, Miss Susie preached about change, and she was just, and that service, that I was really emotional that day. And she was just basically saying, if you seen yourself 5 years ago, are you that same person? And I, you know, I'm kind of shy and bashful. I really want to jump up and say, amen, you know, hallelujah. You saying it, you hit the nail on the head when she said that. And it's just so much stuff that they speak about and they teach us, you know, that make me just keep coming back, because they teach you about God. They teach you the word. You know, a lot of people think that if they make mistakes, God mad with them and He's not going to forgive them. But they break it down to you and let you know it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to fall. You know, it's just about how many times you get up. Your mind is troubling and you're angry and frustrated, and, you know, you have nowhere to turn, nobody to turn to. And it just let me know that there are still great people in the world, you know, doing right things by God, and who want to help you, and they are concerned about you. So, and I think sometimes, even though you don't want people to be, because I'm a private person, and I share some stuff, but some things I don't share, and just to know that you got people that care and comfort you and pray for you and, you know, things of that nature, that's a good feeling.
Praise God. Seems to be a running theme here that there's a lot of people who don't know God's love for them and don't know that our Father is a loving and a good and a kind and benevolent Father. And the world needs to know that. And a lot of Christians need to know that. And that's a strong running theme of 19 years at Good News Church. Is that not only are we a church with open arms, the only reason we're a church with open arms is because our Heavenly Father, He opened His arms. And He sent Jesus. And He had open arms there at Calvary. And that is why today all of us are accepted by God, because God's opened His arms to us. And every one of us here today, that's good news. God loves you. He knows you, but He loves you anyway. Amen. Praise God. I'm here to receive our offering this morning, and I want to read a scripture from Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8. And I'm not going to read all the scriptures that are around that, but the context of the scripture, a couple of verses earlier, Paul's writing there, and he's talking about giving and giving stuff. And he goes on, he says a lot of things, but this verse in Galatians 6:8, often I hear it referred to or ministered or preached in a lot of different ways, interpreted in many ways. But I just want you to know that if you read around it, he's talking about just two verses earlier about giving. And it says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8, for he who sows to his flesh, In several places in Paul's writings, he talks about sowing in terms of giving. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And, you know, there are a lot of things that we can do with our money and our resources. And a lot of, you know, we're sowing whether we are giving it an offering or not. Yesterday I was out in the afternoon and I went in several different stores. And as I was walking through the stores, I was looking at all the stuff. And there were people, I don't know if Christmas shopping has started or people, maybe they normally do that on Saturday afternoons and I'm just not normally there to see it, but it seemed like people were just really consuming a lot of things. They were grabbing a lot of things and buying them. And as I was walking through the stores, I was thinking that we all have finite resources. And it doesn't matter how much money you have, there is a limit on the money you have. Some of you think you don't have enough, but, you know, you'll always meet somebody who has less. And whatever it is that we have, that's what we have. But what we do with what we have is what matters. And the Bible talks a lot about that, what we do with what we have. And I was just in the stores and I was thinking about, you know, you could buy this or you could buy that or there's this thing over here. There's so many things that are available for us to buy. And as I was looking at those things, I was thinking, but this is how much I have. And what am I going to do with what I have? And that's a decision that we all make. We face that every day. We could spend money every day. But, you know, I don't know about you, but I just heard Tony. I just heard Vince. I just heard Chanita. We're going to hear some other people share. I know you. I'm glad that many times over and over, especially in the last 19 years, every Sunday, every service that we have, that I've chosen to give so that lives could be changed. Because when we give for the sake of the gospel being preached, we're giving so lives could be changed. We're giving so that people would hear and know the good news, so they would know our Father. And, you know, it's wonderful, you know, that I could get really emotional just thinking about these two men and Shanita and other people, your stories and what God's done in your life. But the reality is that wouldn't have happened if people had not sown to the Spirit, if people had not given financially. Because those men have come and sat in a building that somebody's been paying for and somebody's been, you know, it's not really glamorous for me to stand up and say, you know, y'all, if you give, we'll have the lights on next month. You know, if you give, we'll have heat in the building. If you give, we'll still, you know, be able to make our mortgage payment. You know, you're kind of like, well, what's that about? But it's not about those things. It's about people and their lives. And if we didn't have those things, there wouldn't be the opportunity for people to hear. Somebody gives voice. Somebody amplifies the voice. Somebody provides a place. And that somebody is often you and me. And that's what we're doing when we give. We're not giving to any man. We're not giving to any person. We're given so people can hear the good news. They can hear who God really is. And they can experience His presence and His love. And I don't know how much is that worth. I don't know how much it's worth, but I can tell you this, when it's not here, you hear, you know, when it's not here and not available, then people like Vince don't have anywhere to go without being condemned. And Tony doesn't have people reaching out to him with love. I don't know. That seems pretty important to me. The Bible says those that sow to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And not only do we provide for other people to reap everlasting life, but we ourselves. We increase in God's life in us, His love for us, the knowledge of Him. We increase in all the life God has for us as we sow and put His, that's what Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. When we put Him first in our lives. And then even Jesus promised that all the things we need will be added to us. So I know a lot of things are going to be said today. You've heard a lot of things. But the most important thing is this. We spent 19 years doing this because people need the Lord. I was here the first day. And the reason we did it was because of these stories. Everybody, many of you have stories. But I'm going to tell you, it's not one man. It's not one woman. It's all of us together.
all of us together. Praise God. I'm glad y'all are here today. I sure didn't know I was going to cry. Sorry about that. Do not like crying in front of y'all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for opportunity to give for the kingdom. As we celebrate 19 years, we're so appreciative for all you've done in the lives of people. Thank you for it. But we know that the best is still ahead. Not only is this happening here, it's happening in other places in the world because people have given. And what's been happening at Good News is now being planted in Peru this week and next week and the weeks to come. It's already in other places in the world. You are so good to us. Hallelujah. And as we give today, we remember that you're a God who blesses his people. You're a God who's already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We thank you, Father, for providing generously. And if there's anybody here that has great need, Father, we look to you because you are the need meter. And there's not anyone among us, Father, that could meet the need that we all have, but you can. And we look to you as our source of supply. You've been our source for 19 years. You've been this all of our sources along the way, and you'll continue to be our source. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Every secret, every shame, every fear, every pain, live inside the dark. But that's not who we are. We are children of the day. So wake up, sleeper, lift your head. We were meant for more than this. Fight the shadows, conquer death, make the most of the time we have left. We are the light of the world. We are the city on a hill. We are the light of the world. And we gotta let the light shine. Let the light shine.
We are called to spread the news.
We are called to spread the news, tell the world the simple truth, that Jesus came to save, there's freedom in his name, so let his love break the rule. We are the light of the world, we are the city on a hill. We are the light of the world, and we gotta let the light shine. We are the light of the world. We are the city on a hill. We are the light of the world, and we gotta let the light shine.
Sing, we are the light.
We are the light, we are the light, we are the light. So let your light shine brighter. We are the light, we are the light, we are the light. Jesus, you are the light, you are the light, you are the light. So we will lift you higher. Shine, shine, shine. We are the light of the world. We are the city on a hill. We are the light of the world, and we gotta let the light shine. We are the light of the world. We are the city on a hill. We are the light of the world, and we gotta let the light shine. Ooh, let the light shine. Oh. Shine. I invite you to stand to your feet and sing with us. Oh, let the light shine, let the light shine. Sing, shine your light. Shine your light and let the whole world singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shining light in, let the whole world see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Shine your light in, let the whole world see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light in, let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Yeah. Shine your light in, let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light in, let the whole world see. For the glory of the risen King. Savior, Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Sing that second verse. Take me as you find me. Hallelujah.
So take me as you find me. All my fears and failures.
Fill my life.
Fill my life again. Give my life to follow everything I believe in.
Now I surrender.
Now I surrender. Oh, yeah, Lord, we surrender. Savior, Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So shine your light in, let the whole world see. Sing it for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light in, let the whole world see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. So we are the light, cause we are the light, we are the light, we are the light. Let your light shine brighter. We are the light, we are the light, we are the light. Jesus, you are the light, you are the light, you are the light. We will lift you high and shine, shine, shine. The light of the world. We are the city on a hill. We are the light of the world. And we gotta, we gotta, we gotta let the light shine. We are the light of the world. We are the city on a hill. We are the light of the world. And we gotta, we gotta, we gotta let the light shine. Let the light shine. Let the light shine.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we've had over the past 19 years to shine our lights, to give life to those around us. Thank you for the equipping and the empowerment that's been brought forth through Good News Church. May we experience another 19 years and more of giving life. Thank you, Lord. We recognize this is our mission. To shine our lights, to let our lights shine before men, so they may see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. May you be glorified and honored in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Turn your attention to the screens for this next video.
My father died in 2003, and Kimberly worked with my son, and had after that period of time, I was really in a slump, and she had encouraged me to come to her church, and I kept making excuses, and finally, 2 years down the road, I guess it was, she said, well, come listen to me, I'm singing, and I thought, oh, well, okay, I can do that, you know, it's not religion. And so I came, and I felt at peace for the first time in my whole life that I had ever walked into a church building, you know, because I never believed that God was a building. I thought God was everywhere, and I still believe that. And it was just, instead of making excuses, it was now I had to arrange for time for me to come to church. And the more I came, the more I heard Pastor Matt, Pastor Susie, the words that God spoke through them, it started to just make sense to me, you know, that truly I was not lost, you know, I was not blind. I had been poorly conditioned about God and about what it meant to be in God, with God, about sin, about the way I lived my life. And I started to realize that there's more to life than just going to listen to bands, shall we say. And I am a bit of a loner. I don't normally like to be in a group of people. But when I come here, I'm not in a group of people. I'm with my family. And it's totally different. Everyone that I speak to and say, you know, you need to come to my church. It's not about religion. It's about family. It's about God. They're like, who are you? This is not the same person you were 10 years ago. And no, I'm not. You know, it's just amazing the change in me in the last 10 years. 10 years ago, if you had told me that I would be witnessing to people, that I would be patient and tolerant and lead by example, I would have told you you had been sniffing glue or something. Okay, because I mean, that was just not even me. But now I enjoy that. I'm 66 years old, and the first 60 years of my life, I lived in fear of what people thought about me, in fear of what did I do now. Now, don't get me wrong, when I was 15, 16 years old, Kenneth Copeland and I said the prayer together on TV, you know, and I knew that that's what I wanted out of life, but I didn't know how to get there, not until I came. If it were not for Good News Church, I think that perhaps I would be lost. I would be blind to the joys of getting older, the joy of knowing God, the joy of knowing that I'm going to heaven, knowing that I'm going to heaven, not just saying, oh yeah, I said the prayer, got it covered, you know. No, I know that I'm going to heaven. Because every day I get glimpses of heaven down here in the flesh. And it's just a word, a gesture, a U-turn. And I am so thankful. Been with you guys officially. I carry my little ID with me. You know, I became a member of the family October the 28th, 2010. I don't remember when I was dumped. But I remember when I became a member of the family. And just want to wish you all the best of everything.
Just had to have those testimonies. I better pray. Y'all pray for me today. Praise God. Father in heaven, we just give you praise and so grateful today for 19 years here. Lord, we're excited about the future, grateful about the past and the present, but we look expectantly towards the future, and Thank you for this congregation, and thank you for the mission and the vision that you've given us. And Lord, that we know that it shall come to pass, every part of it. And we thank you that you empower us and help us to do that. Lord, we pray for Parker and Harry today. Lord, thank you just for utterance and boldness for them. And Lord, that they give life in a strong way and impact Peru and that area and that church for the kingdom. And grateful for Wesley and Grayson heading off tomorrow, and that they will, the next 2 weeks, just amazing time of ministry there in Peru. Thank you, Lord, that you demonstrate your goodness and your power in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. We'll start reading in verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And so they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, this is a controversial passage, and I'm not even going to get into the controversy about it, so just share what I have to say. Yes, Peter is the rock, but in a special sense, he's not the rock on which the church is founded, because that rock is God. That rock is Jesus. But he is the first stone of the church. And that must be recognized. In that sense, it does make him special. He was the first man on the earth to discover who Jesus was. I mean, that's pretty special. The first man to make the leap of faith to see Jesus as the Son of the living God. And so you could say that Peter was the first member of the church. The first member to understand his position and to understand his place. And so in this way, so the church really was built upon him in that sense. In order to have 10 members, you have to have one. In order to have 100, you have to have one. Someone's got to start it. So Jesus was saying to Peter, you're the first one, the man, to grasp who I am. And therefore, you're the first stone, the foundation stone, the very beginning of the church that I'm founding. And so in the ages to come, everybody who makes the same discovery as Peter is another stone added to the church. And this is verified in Ephesians. Let's look at Ephesians 2. And I'll just read it from the Message translation. Ephesians 2 verse 19 says this. That's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. The kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here and what he is building. He used the apostles and the prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. So Peter was the first of many rocks. It says the church, the foundation of the church was laid by the apostles and the prophets. It says that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. But we as believers, going back to Peter, our stones are part of the structure, are part of the house that God is building. The word church is in the Greek is the word ecclesia. And to the Greek and Romans, it meant an assembly of people. So people getting together for a meeting, whatever. It could be a concert, any kind of get-together. That's the ecclesia. But to the Hebrew people, it had a different meaning. This word, ecclesia, meant summon. Everybody say summon. It meant that called people, that people were called to come together. Now that's quite a little different than we're just assembling. It's a summons. You ever been summoned? Summoned to someone's office? Maybe a legal summons? I mean, you're required to be in a certain place at a certain time. Well, there's a summons for the believers and a calling to ecclesia, a calling to the church, not to a building. And we like the whole thing about buildings, and not to the name of the church. We like that as well. Or our denomination. But we're called, summoned by God to be a part in the body of Christ in the earth, but also to be part of a body locally. And we're called out, and see, you know, many people don't look at it that way. You know, we have no problem with someone saying they're called to ministry. Well, he's called to be a pastor, and he's called to do this, and he's called to lead worship, and, you know, and we don't have a problem with that, but do we look at ourselves as called to churches? Well, many today don't feel that, because many believers today, they're sitting at home. They don't sense any calling. You know, in on our rolls, we have over 300 people that attend here during the month. And if they were all to come on one Sunday, we couldn't handle them here. But then not only do we have 300, but we have almost 400 that say this is their church. And but even for those that are members, or even those that are part of the church, very few people have an understanding of a calling. And when you have a calling, when you're called out, it's a calling to come take your place and share what you have, and take your place and the burden and the responsibilities. And that's part of the Lord's plan. And as we do that, what we're doing is we're putting our stone into the church that God's building in the earth. And each of us are a part of that. Each of us are building the work of that God's doing in the earth. Every one of us matters. Every one of us counts. And the church is not a building. And the church is not a name. The church is people. And so Brother Hagin said this. He said that the last move of God, and you know, and Brother Hagin was in ministry for 65 years and was there for different revivals, and the healing revival, you know, charismatic renewal, the revival of the word and teaching, and the, you know, all the different things that have happened over the years. But this is what he said the last move of God was. And I think about this a lot. The last move of God, talking about what God wants to do before Jesus comes. You know, he's coming back, right? He's coming back to a church that's without spot or wrinkle. And so Brother Hagin said, the last move of God is God was raising up strong local churches that know how to flow with the Holy Spirit. And not just where, you know, I know how to be led by the Spirit, or, but where, I mean, this is interesting. Not only that we know, not only being led by the Spirit, but that we know how the Spirit works through us. But then I'm just seeing this. Then not only am I led by the Spirit and the Spirit of God works through me, but we work together. The Spirit of God works through us together. And there was no more evident than the night when we did the trunk or treat, when we had all these folks come to our grounds, and you know, the gospel was shared to over 500 something people, over 180 saved. I mean, the power of us coming together. And I had the privilege of walking around that night, and you know, normally I'm doing a trunk or doing a game or something, and the it was amazing what I saw that night. I wish you could have, every one of us could have done that. All the different parts. I really saw the body. Everybody, you know, in place doing their thing. And sometimes our part seems insignificant, but when you put it into the body, it means something. An impact is happening. And so today, as you know, we're celebrating 19 years of Giving Life. You know, I want you to know, and I hope that you can see it by revelation, church matters. Church matters, and church is important, and that's why the enemy fights it like he does. And better churches than ours are not here today, because they weren't able to weather the storm. But church matters. Church is important. And church has everything to do with what God wants to do in the earth. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, I don't know all your reasons for being here today. I hope it's more than chili. But you've got to watch that disconnect. Watch that the enemy trying to pull you away. Watch him trying to bring division. Watch him trying to bring strife. I mean, he hates this church. He hates Good News Church with a passion. And he will stop at no lengths to destroy it. To destroy me, my family, to destroy you. But thank God that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And then, because we know who we are, and we know that the devil is under our feet. And Jesus defeated him 2,000 years ago. And so whatever happens, whatever situations we face individually as or as the congregation, we know that God always, always causes us to triumph. But we can't grow weary in doing well. Can't faint. And you heard the testimonies today. You know, we're in the transformation business. That's what we do. We're not perfect at it. I wish we were. But that's what we're about. We're about transformation. And not only we are in the transformation of people's lives and in families, but then so much so that that transformation causes you to go out and transform your world. It's not enough just to be transformed in here, or for you to be transformed at home in your nice, you know, cushy, you know, lounge chair. Is that we carry something. We bring transformation. We are empowered to give life. We are life givers. And we don't have the luxury of sitting on the sidelines. And, you know, and I hate to hear this because I hear this all the time from the Spirit of God, and I say to my kids, more is required of us. We can't sit on the sidelines in this great hour, in the greatest hour in the history of the church, and not do what we know to do. We're here to do something. We're here to shake it up. We're here to change our world. We're here to help transform people. And it's a messy business. It's not glamorous. But it's needed, and we're called. He's called us. He's summoned us to come together to change lives. So today, as we're at, you know, celebrating 19 years, I've got a prayer for you today. And it's based on the prayer of Jesus found in John 17. In John 17, he prayed for himself, he prayed for the disciples, and then he prayed for believers that were to come in the future. And I want to read what he prayed for us. And again, follow along on the screen. This is in the Message translation. John 17, verse 20. Got that up there? There you go. It says, I'm praying not only for them, but also for those who believe in me. So he had prayed for his disciples, and now he's praying for those that are going to believe on Jesus in the future. Because of them and their witness about me, the goal is for all of them to become one heart and one mind. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you in fact sent me. The same glory you gave me, I gave them. So they'll be as unified and together as we are. Wow. That's a lofty goal there. We know how hard it is in just in marriage for two people to get along and get together. Then a family. That's amazing. That's faith there. I mean, to even pray that and to even believe for that. So they'll be as unified and together as we are. I and them and you and me. Then they'll be mature in this oneness. I pray that you'll be mature in this oneness. And give the godless world evidence that you've sent me and loved them in the same way you've loved me. Father, I want those you gave me to be with me right where I am, so they can see my glory, the splendor you gave me, having loved me long before there ever was a world. Righteous Father, the world has never known you, but I have known you, and these disciples know that you sent me on this mission. I've made your very being known to them, who you are and what you do, and continue to make it known, so that your love for me might be in them exactly as I am in them. That's my prayer for you today. That's my prayer for this church today. You said that the goal was for all of them to be of one heart and one mind. One heart and one mind with each other. That they would be mature in oneness. And I love this. Love them in the same way that you have loved me. That God loves us in the same way He loves Jesus. Man, we need a revelation of that. So Good News Church and the church, all churches. Good News Church is about finding out who you are, what you have, and what you can do. Church is about laying aside selfishness. So much selfishness in this world. Selfishness is ugly. Church is about laying aside selfishness and learning how to really love people. And then, as we learn in here, we take it to the streets. See, this is the practice. The game is out there. And here we practice about love. Learn how to love. We get a revelation of God's love. And we talk about the love of the Father. Paul prayed that we'd have that revelation. That He loves us the same as He loves Jesus. And to let that love just saturate us and saturate our souls. And the more you are able to do that, the more you're able to receive that love. And it's just a process. The more you're able to receive that love, the more you're able to give it. And that love, that it's called the Bible, the Greek words, agape. It's an unconditional love, not based on performance. It's loving someone just the way they are. And as that unconditional love and that mercy and that grace so saturates us, it changes us. And then we in turn can be Jesus to the world. So come to Good News Church. Come be fed. Come be encouraged. Come be strengthened. Come be built up. Come to hear from heaven. Come to find your purpose. But never ever let it end there. Go out and impact your world for Jesus Christ. Read a couple scriptures of this prayer being answered. Turn over your Bibles into Acts chapter 2. You guys know these scriptures. Read it so many times. Acts 2 verse 41. It says, "Then those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread," which we'll do in a minute, "and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who were believed were together." Isn't that amazing? "All who believed were together. And had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. And so continuing daily with one accord." Everybody say one accord. "In the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those being saved." Man, if we can come together, if we can come together, if we can be transformed by that love and let that love flow through us, if we can get what it's all about, if we can realize that we're called, every one of us is called by God. In just different times of the week, we're summoned to gather together a few times. And then when we come together, things happen. God shows up. And He does His thing. But you know, a lot of things happen just by seeing each other. Just by seeing each other. I mean, you saw those testimonies today? I mean, there's testimonies all over this place. To see each other, to know each other. care about each other. And then we have Acts chapter 4, and this is my dream. I don't know if I'll see it in my lifetime. I don't know. I mean, I don't know when Jesus is coming. I think he's coming soon. I'm living my life like he is. But this is my dream here, right here. Acts 4, verse 32. Believing for this. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Kind of seeing a little theme here. Y'all are pretty quiet today. I guess it's a little serious, huh? It's hard to be one heart and one soul when it's about you. Difficult to have one accord when it's about you. And so many times it just becomes about me. And see, the world that we live in, it's all about me. It's all about my stuff and what I wear and what I drive and where I live and where I vacation and who I know and all these things. And when we're coming upon Christmas, just go out there. I mean, it's tangible. It's tangible. I mean, be in that line at Best Buy at 4 in the morning. I mean, it's tangible. And we got to fight that. We got to fight that. Got to fight that. And it's hard because you just want it your way. But this is a place where it's not about you, including me as the pastor. It's not about me. It's about what he wants. It's about his plan. It's about his vision. It's not my vision. It's his vision. It's not my great commission. It's his great commission. But you got to fight it. And church is about love. And church is about forgiveness. Ugh, I hate that. Church is not about being offended. It's not about gossip. It's not about cliques. It's not about celebrity preachers. Did I read Acts 4 yet? Acts 4, verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own. Oh my God. That's craziness. That is outright. Those people back there, they were crazy. That's craziness. Well, we might as well just forget that. That's not happening in 2014. Probably not. Maybe 2015. They had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. I don't know about you. That sounds good. Great grace on you. Great grace on you. Great grace. 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 I don't know. I mean, I can go try to define that, but I don't know. The word great in the Greek is mega. It's the same word used for the hurricane storm that Jesus faced when he was asleep in the boat. It's huge grace. I don't know about you, but I want some of that. I want some of that, and I want some of this, the rest of this here. I can find it. Great grace upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked.
Yes. Amen.
How is that possible? You're going to have faith to believe this. We're going to have great faith and great love to have this. But I know this, the latter house is greater than the former. And I know, like in any family, you always want your kids to outdo you. So what we see in the book of Acts were a continuation of the book of Acts. And God's greatest days in the church are in our future. The greatest harvest in all of history is in our future. The greatest miracles ever performed is in our future. And we get to be a part of that. And we get to go through it together. But we can't draw back when we're so close, and we can't get offended, and we can't get, caught in these petty little differences. And we got to lay aside us and what we want. And this is hard today because I know, some of you are just barely trying to make it today. And so God, how can I talk about these things? We're just trying to get by. We're dealing with grief. We're dealing with depression. We're dealing with lack of finances. We're dealing with physical pain. It's been one of the worst years of marriage in this church that I've seen in our history in 19 years. In our year of the extraordinary, we've got marriage deals left and right. I got a few more gray hairs just because of it. So how could I stand here and talk about these things when all this stuff going on? Well, because in the midst of all this craziness, we've got to have a vision. My people perish for lack of vision. I've got to give you hope. We've got to believe that we're going somewhere. And if we believe we're going somewhere, we can go through hell because we know we're just passing through the valley of the shadow of death. We're not camping out there. We're going through it. And we're going through it together. And we're going somewhere. And each one of us are going to impact our world for Jesus Christ. You are world changers. You are not insignificant. You're not unworthy, no good, nothing, never amount to anything. That's what they say out there. That's a lie.
That's right.
You are more than conquerors.
Right.
Yes. And God has created you to do something great. God has given you a purpose that only you can fulfill. I got to wrap it up, guys. Yeah, we need to laugh. Okay. Enough of that. I think it's very fitting today we're going to receive communion. And guys, you can come forward and get ready, and I just want to read a scripture and pray. And they can distribute the elements today, and we're going to do things a little differently today. Instead of people coming forward, we're just going to pass the elements to the congregation, so our ushers will do a great job with that. But if you'd like, I would like to partake of the elements together at the end. So just hold your things, and then, as we got a little bit of time here, just kind of reflect about about this church. Reflect about some of the things that are being said today. Where are you at with God? Just take a moment between with you and Him and talk to Him And if you have a need, look to Him and He's going to meet that need. But 1 Corinthians 11:23 says this, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which He was betrayed took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same manner, He also took the cup after the supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes.'" As we partake today, you are one of those living stones. You are one of those stones, part of the building of God's church. May you be strengthened. May you be encouraged. May you be empowered. Father, we just thank You for this communion today. I just thank You, Lord, if people here today are needing healing, if people here today needing provision, You meet all the needs, Father. And just bless these elements, Father, and those that are partaking, Lord, that each one here will find their purpose and fulfill that. And Lord, we just thank You for the privilege to be here at Good News Church, our little part of the body. May our best days be in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Father in heaven, we're just grateful for these 19 years. Lord, we just thank You for this church and all the lives that have been impacted over the years. Lord, we just thank You for the folks that were saved, were healed, delivered, disciples being made. And so we're grateful, Father. We thank You so much for Your goodness towards us. But we thank You, Lord, as we look towards the future, that the best days are yet to come. That we will fulfill the vision and the mission that You've given us. So we just thank You, Father. Speak a blessing over the congregation, over everybody here. Bless their families. Bless their marriages. Bless every part of their lives. And Father, I pray that we may be one. And that we may be, grow in this oneness. And be, and all that entails. That there would be harmony and one accord at Good News Church. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we take His body, receive it, do this in remembrance of Him. This is His blood, represents His blood. Do this in remembrance of Him. You just pass the cups towards the center there. Hallelujah. Who am I turning it over to?
Amen. Aren't you glad to be part of a healthy family? So wonderful. We've got a special treat, a special surprise for Pastor Matt and Susie. Would you guys come up here for a second? Please, 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 please. Just stand beside me. And we recognize that this, while this church is a body of people, this church would not exist without the two of you. Taking a chance and taking a risk and starting this church 19 years ago. And so we wanted to take the time to just honor you and thank you for all that you've done over these past 19 years, the sacrifices you've made, and the seeds that you've sown into this body. So can we honor them today? And we have a gift for you. There we go. All kinds of goodies in there, and money doesn't grow on trees, but apparently it does grow in bouquets like these. And so plant that in your backyard, and may it, you know, produce an abundant harvest for you and your family. I want to pray for you, and then we've got a video that we've put together that we'll all take a look at together. Would you join me in praying for our pastor today? Father, I thank You so much for Pastor Matt and Pastor Susie and all that they've meant to this congregation and for the seeds that they've sown over the years. May You bless them in abundance, and they have an abundant return on the seeds that they've sown of time, of their energy, of treasure, Father, all the money that they've invested into this church and into your kingdom. I thank you, Father, that it would produce for them, but also produce a harvest of souls and a harvest of life givers. Thank you, Father, that they may have continued abundance and fruitfulness in ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, would you turn your attention to the screens and we'll watch this video together.
An Ode to My Church by Michelle Moyes. Good News Church, it's just that. Not about what one thinks, it's just the facts. Jesus lived, died, and was risen from the grave. An abundant life through Him, God gave. I always knew there was a God, and believe me, I prayed. But until I came here, I never knew what it meant to be saved. But now, thank you, Lord, I know how to praise and rejoice, even through the storms, and they will come. You do have a choice. John 3:16, Philippians 4:13, Hebrews 13:5, and even John 10:10, all these promises true. Not sure if I would know them if it weren't for you. Now, when I started this, I thought, I won't start crying. But who was I kidding? I knew I was lying. Don't ask me where I'd be without Good News Church. I can't imagine that life. But I love it and my pastors, and I wish you a very happy church anniversary, and thank you.
In a word, Good News Church to me means empowerment. Destiny.
Life.
Truth.
Family.
Life.
Heaven here on earth.
Open arms.
Life.
Empowerment.
Family.
Friends.
Love.
Empowerment.
Grace.
Love.
Life.
Real.
Home.
Acceptance.
Life.
Love.
What I've learned here has helped me grow up. It's helped me become more confident. It's helped me live a better life in every area of life.
The biggest impact that I've learned in the past year from Good News is that love and that grace and that giving life that Jesus can bring to us.
Coming to Good News Church has made me bold, has made me know how to share my faith and the love of God with other people and the reality of who God is with others. And there's just... Wow, that's such an honor and a privilege to be able to share and know how to share the love of God with others.
Good News Church has been, you know, the life that we've needed in our life, and it's been everything. It's changed the way we think. It's changed the way that we do ministry. It's just taught us so much about who we are and what we can do. So. I don't know where we would be without our church.
A place where folks can be reborn, not just into becoming a new Christian, but reborn in their thinking and revived and just totally made new and in a good understanding and in a thorough understanding of who they are in Christ and what God has done for them and who He is and their authority.
It made me think about when I first got saved, how on fire I was for God and what it was all about, bringing people to Christ, introducing them to Jesus.
It's a great place for us to come as a family and learn, you know, what the Word of God is to us and who we are in Christ. And it also is it's a place to help serve and help others learn and empower them. Just to walk in the fullness of what God has for them.
The people of Good News Church are just amazing. They're so generous, they're so sweet and loving, and they treat us with so much grace.
It's an open arms policy, and no matter where you are, what you've been through, even if you fall flat on your face, you are always welcome in Good News Church, and it's all about grace.
I've changed my destiny. I changed my grandmother's destiny.
my father's destiny, than in heaven, because my pastor taught me how to do that.
We'd just like to say thank you to Pastor Matt and Master Susie. We really appreciate all you've done for us over the years, and the teaching that you put in our lives has been lifesavers for us. Me especially, I can say that without the knowledge that I gained from y'all, that I might not be here today.
So I thank you, Pastor Matt, Pastor Susie, for everything that you've done to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your stewardship. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for always standing and doing no matter what it takes to spread the gospel. You're so appreciated.
And I thank my pastors that they've taught me what they've taught me, and I've grown to love the Lord and all my family. And thank you, Pastor Matt and Susie. I love you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just thank you.
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 Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Love you.